thankful once again to have Brother David here, and Brother Mark and Brother David have been around here for several months now, trying to get back to the field and all, but it's a joy to have second speaker tonight. Brother David, come ahead.
Good evening. There we go. They're laughing at me because I'm nervous, but I'm also cold. I'm envious, you know, because you're sitting in your warm homes and this building is freezing. So open your Bible to Exodus chapter 14 tonight. And hope this week will be a blessing to all of you. And looking forward to these things. These are always an encouragement to just get a barrage of preaching. And the only thing I don't like about this one is that I have to be one of the preachers. But thankfully, only have three messages, and we have three other guys helping out. So Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 13. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for your words, and thank you so much for just the life you've given us in Jesus Christ, and to be able to have a book and be able to get around preaching and just, Lord, have a good time with it. And I know the lost world just doesn't understand how this could be fun and just enjoyable to learn and grow and just hear from you. But Lord, it is. It's really good to be able to just hear from you and have fellowship with you. And there's something in it that nothing in this world can ever replace or understand. And I do pray you bless this week and the time in your words, and continue to use these men to just build up your saints in these last days that are left. And Lord, I pray you even come right now and just take us out of here, and whatever you decide to do, Lord, help us to be faithful and found standing perfect and complete in your will, what you want us to be doing. And just keep us, Lord, on our toes, and keep reminding us, and keep speaking to us. And Lord, thank you for your care for us, and I pray you bless the message tonight. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so verse 13, you might know the chapter 14, coming out of Egypt, and they've just seen God work 10 miraculous plagues and all those things going on, and here he's taking them up to the Red Sea. And what happens is the Egyptians follow after him, and here they are. And there's some problems coming up. They have an army coming after them. They're afraid. They're in trouble. They're panicking. And they're just ready to quit, go back, give up on God, all those things. And the title of the message will start out is just God will take care of you. And He will. And Bible believers often lose this side of God, and I mean, I've struggled with it a lot. As much of a sinner as you are, and as much of a worthless, you know, deceitful, corruptible thing you are, I can't do anything without Jesus Christ. I mean, what can I do? A man at his best state is altogether vanity, but God still is going to take care of you and me. And it's really good to know how much God does care about you. And I'm going to start off that a little bit here, looking at it. And look at verse 13. Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not. And this is a real simple thing we run into every day is just worry, right? And that's the first point here tonight is don't worry. And the Israelites are trapped. The Egyptians are marching after them. Look back in verse number 10. When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Now, if I was in their shoes, you know what I would be? I'd be afraid. I'm pretty sure I would. That big army coming after me, man just isn't very smart to look back at everything God has already done, and just trusting God is a hard thing. But here comes an army, and you just think, well, how are we going to get out of this one? And you start worrying. God is, in life, God wants to build your confidence in Him. He wants you to trust Him. And obviously at salvation, you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You trust Him that He is the only way to get you to heaven. But the rest of your life is still a lesson of trust. Building trust. And I remember stories. Our first trip on deputation. Boy, I mean, that was a scary trip. Going out, just thinking, here I don't have my parents, I don't have my church, I don't have anything, but just I'm responsible for my family. Here I am going to be driving around in this big, huge red van and big, long trailer afterwards, and what's going to happen? How are we going to get by? I just quit my job. It was just very low finances, just getting on deputation. Just a thing you go through. And just learn to trust. Halfway through deputation, got to Virginia, and we started traveling through Virginia. And, you know, that's mountain land, and started going up and down some mountains, and I was following the GPS. And that GPS had me going a little shorter of a route than the main route. And, I didn't pay too much attention at this time yet. I was still pretty new on GPSs, and they did pretty good, so for the first half of deputation. But it was July 3rd, and I remember that, and driving out up these mountains, and, the road I noticed, we left a highway, I noticed that, but it was still a decent road. We were making good time, and we were coming up and, getting close, and we're going to get on a main road really quickly. And we were about, maybe 2 minutes from the main road, and we had to make one more turn down this just little road, and then we were on the main road. And that road was called Frog Level Road. And I don't know why they called that Frog Level Road. I asked the preacher when I finally made it to their place, and he said, oh, that road. And I turned down that road, and I noticed that road had no lanes. That road was very narrow, and it was a steep hill. We started trucking up that hill, got my wife and just one little girl in the back, and we got up to the top of the hill, and I looked down. And we stopped the van and stopped everything there, and I surveyed what we were looking at here. And thankfully, no traffic out there. No one else is dumb enough to go out that way. And the GPS, I looked at that, and it said it was a yellow road. And one of the, a more major road than just a back road. And I said, this doesn't look like a major road. It was dark. It was narrow. I mean, it was all overgrown with woods and just bushes, and I didn't think we'd make it through there. And I'm pretty sure we wouldn't have if I tried. And so I started backing down. I kicked my wife out of the car and said, okay, we're going to back this trailer all the way down this hill and get back on this road and take this long way around to get back to where we were wanting to go. And I remember going up and down and looking at the phone, and there was no signal, there's no houses around, There's just nothing, and that van was getting hot. It was July, it was, you know, the temperature, and I'm just panicking. I hear the brakes, and the everything is just, it's hot, the transmission, and it was, you know, one of those times where you just worry. And it was July 3rd, and I remember that because I was reading a proverb a day. I read for that day, and I've done that most of my life since I got out of the military. And Proverbs 3 that day I'd read, and the Lord reminded me, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And that was really a help, and just this peace came over. And I said, well, if I break down, the Lord wants me to break down. And there's just this trust that came through. There's no need to worry. God will take care of you. He'll take care of you. And He always will. And God, that's how He works. Even when you don't understand His plans, things can go really bad sometimes, and you just don't understand, why am I in this? God knows it. He says, the peace which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts. And, you know, usually people are overwhelmed with little things. You know, bills, you know, we think those are maybe big things, but just little things. But boy, they make us worry. Sickness comes and worry. I mean, you think of just right now what's going on with this whole panic. And I'm really thankful for a good pastor. He's been just going through those Psalms right now is a perfect time. Just don't worry, don't worry. Trust the Lord, trust in the Lord. And he's been pounding that. And I really appreciate that, because I remember just the first couple weeks of this whole thing, and everybody's out there starting to, you know, be freaky and stuff. And I'm like, man, maybe I should be freaky too. And you get that funny feeling in your stomach. And, you know, it's like, what's going on? There's some, you know, plague coming around. And, you know, the Black Death is here and everybody's going to die. And today I noticed, I turned to my wife and said, hey, you know, I'm not worried about going out today. I just, why? Because pastor's been preaching, trust the Lord, trust the Lord. And it's really been giving me help. It's been giving me strength to just trust Him. Like kids going out to play, are they going to, you know, fall down and break their knee? Are they going to, you know, get busted up? Are they going to have to go to the hospital? You think of the news media and all the things they want you to worry about. We have visas as missionaries. And I don't know why I worry about this sometimes, but just breakdowns. Out in the mountains of the Philippines, if your refrigerator breaks down, you know what happens? It breaks down. There's nowhere to go get a new one, and your neighbor doesn't have a refrigerator. I'm probably the only person in the, you know, 10-mile radius that has a refrigerator. And boy, if that refrigerator breaks down with that freezer packed with meat and different things, you know what happens? Oh, we either just have a big barbecue and just wait until we can buy the next refrigerator. But worries. When I arrived in the Philippines, it was a great time of just worry. Just go there. It was, you know, everything new. Brother Lonnie, I'll just use first names or whatever case, but Brother Lonnie was going to, you know, give the church to preach for a year there, and I was all nervous about that. I'm just like, this is only one preaching. I'm more nervous about three messages this week, but that was for a whole year. And so you can imagine the worries I had there. And we got there, and they, you know, let's do this, let's that, and you know, I'm out of here. And he took off, and he left us with a sick dog. He left us with a broken down washing machine. The internet died, and you know, hello, can I call someone for help? What do I do next? And there's quite a bit of troubles in the church, and someone had died, and there was problems here, and this and that. And what do I do? Trust the Lord. That's what you do, and He'll get you through. And He always does. Calm down. Don't panic. But you try, or you worry about things. You worry about break-ins. I've never had my house broken into. And I don't know how many nights growing up and even in my adult years where I've had the worry, what if someone broke in tonight? It's just worry, worry all through life. Don't fear. Don't fear. You know what Jesus said? He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, cast all your care upon me. Why? Because I care for you. Let not your heart be troubled. This world wants to give you trouble. Look for insurance. What can I do to take care of this if this happens or that happens? What is somebody thinking about me? Don't worry. Don't worry about that. But boy, that ruins people. It kills people, the ridicule that people get. Hey, what if I go out street preaching and get ridiculed? Hey, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. All the what ifs, I mean, just you could go on and on. Look at Psalm chapter 46. We'll turn back and forth from Exodus and Psalms. Psalms chapter 46, a very familiar passage. But God's not given us a spirit of fear. He's not given us a time to just sit down and worry and be troubled. He said, trust me, trust me. Look at Psalm 46, verse 1. It says, God is our refuge and strength. Someone you can hide in. Someone when there is trouble you can go to and He's going to take care of you. A very present help in trouble. That's a really good verse. I know there's a lot of doctrinal applications to this psalm, but there's a lot of practical applications too. And he is a help in trouble, a very present help right then. Verse number 2. What happens if this happens? Therefore will not we fear, there's what we're looking for, though the earth be removed. What happens if the earth just falls out from underneath your feet? That'd be something to worry about. I mean, I don't have my... Hey, honey, where'd you go? My kids, where'd you go? And they're gone. They're falling out. And there you are, out and just hanging out in the middle of air. You don't need to worry, he says. The earth be removed. And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, don't you think you'd worry about that? I live on a mountain in the Philippines. 6,000 feet up, it's like, whoa, hey, I'm going into the sea too. Oh, don't worry. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Do you need to worry? No, he says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, come back to Exodus chapter 14. And he says another thing here to the people. Verse number 13, Exodus 14, verse 13, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still. Here's just a bunch of things he's just pouring out to the people. He's got some commas in there. And the first thing, don't worry. But then he says, don't move. Don't move. Now, obviously, when we get worried about something, we tend to want to do something about it. When we worry, we instinctively react to problems. If I was in the Israelites' position, I might jump in the water and start swimming. I'm a good swimmer. I like to swim. And if I can swim faster than that guy, maybe I'll make it and he'll not. You know, something like that. Or I can go up on the rocks and at least, you know, if we make a battle plan and we can get up on the rocks of that mountain and when the Egyptians come, we can throw rocks down, at least get to higher ground. Make a battle plan or just, you know, start running. Maybe I can outrun somebody. But no, the Lord says, stand still. Don't move. Don't move. Look at verse number 12. And that's what the Israelites wanted to do. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt? The Israelites talking, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. Here's what they said. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. We're ready to go back. Let's get out of here. Let's just go back to the... And that's what they kept wanting to do. They kept wanting to move and go back and where, hey, things were easier, things were better, where we didn't have to trust God. God always likes to put you in places where you have to trust Him. Man doesn't like that. He hates that. You say, how do you know? Because I do. I hate it. Living a life of faith and trust is not a life that the natural man likes. He wants to know what's going to happen on the other end. He wants to know all the details. He wants to know how things are going to turn out. And life is full of who knows what's going to happen. Boy, get a heart attack? Or, hey, get hit by a car if a drunk comes in? What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen? Your visas get denied? Or what happens if you can't go back? What happens if this? There's all these what ifs. Don't worry and don't move. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Don't take matters into your own hands. If you remember Moses, he goes and he kills that Egyptian and he gets ahead of God trying to, with good intentions, restore and be a savior to Israel. And wants to be a deliverer of some sort. And Moses, he gets put on the shelf for 40 years. He has to learn to wait the hard way. Because he doesn't want to wait on the Lord. And you remember Joseph, he was a good example of waiting on the Lord. He waited at least 10 years in a prison before God had him pulled out. God had a great plan for Joseph, but he had to wait. Abram, you think of Abram getting ahead of the Lord and going with Hagar. And creating a breach there in Ishmael and a whole bunch of problems because he got out of just waiting on God. Life is full of waiting on God. God isn't going fast. He's never going to go fast. In my head, from what I see, till Second Advent, maybe then at that point. But he's big on waiting. He's not in a hurry like we are. He's not anything like man. Man is always in a hurry. I got to do this. I got to finish this. Lord says, hey, I got lots of time. I got 1,000 years is one day. Boy, that's a long time for one day. You're thinking about eternity. He's got a long time. Going to those prisons and they teach you in the prisons, hey, these prisoners have a long time in there. They're going to wait for you to make a mistake. You know why? Because they got all the time in the world. They ain't going anywhere. But you know what? God has eternity. Life of mine has been a life of waiting. I remember waiting to get into ministry. Wanting to do something for the Lord. And the Lord said, just wait, just wait. Just learn something. Wait. Be faithful. And finally get into the prisons. Really enjoyed that. I wanted to get married even a lot earlier than I did. And the Lord said, wait. And I'm sure glad I did. The Lord gave me a wonderful wife. Could you have gotten married earlier? Probably. Get out of the will of God. But boy, I would have missed out on a beautiful treasure. You think of waiting for kids. Waiting for knowledge even. Wanting to learn something, and the Lord just says, hey, you're not ready to learn that. I keep learning things. I wonder how many things I still have ahead of me to learn. And there's just so much. I keep learning things. There's just so much to learn. I don't know if I just forget that many things and have to relearn them, or, you know, because I get it and it's like, wow, that's new. And maybe I learned it before and just forgot it again, but boy, just life is full of learning. And he's not going to pile all his knowledge on you right at once. Just little by little. Here a little, there a little. Just waiting on the Lord. I think of my calling, going to the Philippines. 8 years. Took 8 years to get there. I was ready to go 8 years before I got there. But the Lord wasn't. and open doors to do what he had me to do, and to get an idea of what I was going to do. It took 4 years. That's not very long with the Lord, but for me, it was like, Lord, what am I doing here? People wait a lot longer for a lot of other things. We're waiting for his return. The Lord says, don't move. Don't move. Wait on the Lord. Look at Psalms chapter 37. Psalms chapter 37. Waiting doesn't mean to do nothing. You can work, you can watch, you can pray. There's lots of things you can do while you're waiting on the Lord, but just don't get ahead of the Lord. Wait on Him. He wants to do something greater than what you can do. But He wants you to trust Him. And He wants you to wait on Him so that He gets the glory for it instead of you. Now, Psalm 37, look at verse number 7. He says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. We often get angry about waiting, especially waiting patiently for Him. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. When you don't wait on the Lord, you are going to do something foolish. Every time. If you get ahead of God and you don't wait on Him and get eager and just, Lord, I'm just dying to do something for you. Some of the best advice I got was from Brother Johnson when he came through here. He was a missionary as well, and I just wanted to do some things. And you know what he told me to do? He said, just wait and sit in your church and learn. That was some of the best advice. I was ready to just do something stupid. And so I did. I sat there and waited. Waited quite a few more years before the Lord had a plan to move on somewhere. And it's good to be back home. Waiting doesn't mean to do anything. The Lord's going to show you when to move. And He'll have clear things for you. Wait until it's clear. Don't move when it's like, should I move? Should I not move? Wait until it's clear. Wait until the Lord is, in that thing for sure. Look at Psalms chapter 40, verse number 1. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Look what He wants to do. He wants to help you out. He wants to be, get you through the trial and get you through. He's going to take care of you either the easy way or the hard way. I've learned that. I learned that a lot in life just with the Bible. Reading the Bible, you can learn either the easy way or the hard way. Wait on the Lord. That's the easy way. I know it may seem hard. You may get panic and stirred up and just feel like you're not accomplishing anything. You feel like you're broken down inside of just, Lord, what am I doing? What's my purpose in life? Just wait on Him. Wait on Him. He's got something in plan. He's got something in store. I remember reading a sign in the Philippines. I forget, it was at like some kind of a driver's license place. And it had a sign there. It said, patience. Patience is not waiting. Patience is sitting there. I forget how exactly the sign. I knew I was going to mess this up. But patience is not waiting. It's waiting with a good attitude. Something along those lines. And I remember that sign. It was really funny. And, finally, your turn comes and says, well, thank you for waiting. Yeah, I'm sure you are. I'm late, blah, blah. No problem. No problem. Don't worry. Wait patiently for the Lord. I want you to notice something here in verse number 4 of Psalm chapter 40. He says, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Looked at this just a minute ago or a few days ago. and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. The Lord his trust. Now look at verse 5. Don't forget this verse. This is a wonderful verse. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. Amen. I mean, he's done so many things for me. He's done so many things for you, right? If you look and think about the past of what he's done in your life, look at this. And he says, and thy thoughts which are to usward. I have a whole bunch of notes, a whole bunch of cross-references next to this verse. It's a good verse. His thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Does God care for you? I think he does. I think he does. In fact, it says here he does. He thinks more about me than I think about him, undoubtedly. I'm sure he's got, I could probably all the thoughts he thinks about me all the time. It's hard to think about. Why would he think about me? Because he's a good father. I'm his. I belong to him. He's going to take care of me. Say, well, even though you're wretched and miserable and blind and all the other things on top of it, yep, he's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of you. Look at Psalm chapter 46, verse number 10. He says, be still. Be still. Stand still. Don't move. And know that I am God. And know. That's what you're going to know is if you stand still. If you don't stand still, you're going to miss out on knowing God. Because God has a plan. If you don't wait on Him, you're going to miss it. You're going to go right off the screen. But he's got a plan. He's got a real good plan, and he's got a better plan than you have, and he wants to show it to you. He wants to be known. He wants you to see his great goodness that he wants for your life. But you got to trust him. Don't get ahead of him. Don't get ahead of him. God will take care of you. Come back to Exodus chapter 14. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Look at Exodus chapter 14. He goes on in the third thing here. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. See the salvation of the Lord. And here is a doubting situation here. They're doubting the salvation of the Lord. He says, you're going to see this. Don't doubt this. You're worried, you're ready to panic and run. Don't doubt. The Lord's going to take care of you. And look back at verse number 2. You can see this. It's just amazing why we panic. It's just why we do it. I don't know, but we just, that's what we do. But look at verse 2. The Lord is telling Moses, speak unto the children of Israel. And he wants them to camp in a certain place. And he tells them in verse number 3 that Pharaoh is going to say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. So verse 4, the Lord says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them. This is what he wants Moses to tell the people. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know. I don't doubt. Know that I am the Lord. And they did so. So they went, they encamped in this spot, and the Egyptians start coming out. And God told them that he would take care of them. But he didn't tell them how he would take care of them. He didn't tell them how he was going to open up the sea. He didn't tell them how he was going to put the cloud in between them and the Egyptians. He didn't tell them how he was going to bring them through the sea and then drown the Egyptians when they attempt that. He just said that he would take care of them. And these people, they panicked. They didn't know. They doubted. They doubted the Lord. Look back at Exodus chapter 3. You think of a little bit about Moses here. And a lot of our lives are like this. Moses is asked of God to do something. And look at Exodus chapter 3. A hard thing. Deliver the children of Israel. How can I deliver the children of Israel? And that's what he says in verse 11. Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? How can I do something like that? I'm just a man. What can I do?" Look at verse number 12. This is what the Lord answers. "Certainly I will be with thee." Isn't that enough, Moses? You know, Moses, he goes on and on about this whole thing, and we'll come back to that. But isn't that enough if the Lord is with you? Isn't he going to help you? You know, it's like that little mosquito riding on top of the elephant, and they go across this rickety old bridge, and man, that bridge just shakes and shakes as that big old elephant comes across that bridge, and that mosquito looks down at that elephant and said, "We sure shook the bridge that time." And, you know, obviously, don't doubt the Lord. He'll take care of you. He's got that plan. He has an ability, even if you don't have an ability. He can get you through family trouble, through pain, through criticism, through financial trouble, through inconsistent brethren, through not being recognized for the great talents and abilities and the things that you've accomplished. How much has God already done for you? Right? Don't doubt. Don't doubt. This is a reminder for the most part. You all know this. Don't worry. Don't move. Don't doubt. I mean, hey, nothing new about this. But boy, do we forget easily. Don't doubt. Don't doubt His care. You think of the Egyptians. I mean, just before this, the Lord says, "I'm going to deliver you." And what happens? They start getting beat. "Lord, this is great care you have for me. You're beating us." They go out into the wilderness and there's no water. "Lord, this is great care. There's no food. This is great care." Don't doubt. Don't doubt. He's got a place for you where He can get some glory. Lots of hardships in the Christian life. Called you to suffering. How about His coming? Pastor just preached on His coming. Many are going to scoff. Do you doubt that? Do you doubt the Lord's coming? How about His calling? If He's called you to do something, He says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He gives you a calling, He doesn't go back on it. How about His love? Look at John chapter 13. A lot of people struggle with this. Does God love you? Boy, people get down, and boy, if they just would know that God loved me, it would just, boy, that would help, wouldn't it? Sometimes it doesn't feel like He loves you, but He does. Look at John chapter 13, verse number 1. You think of this. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end." The end. He's going to keep loving you. Say, "Lord, how can you love me when life is going so terrible right now?" And sometimes life is just the troubles that come, the trials to build that patience, you know, that the things that God does to build your faith and the world and the flesh and the devil, just all the things you go through. Does God love you? He sure does. Even denying Peter. No doubt He loved Peter. All the way to the end, He said He did. What about Thomas? Doubting Thomas. Did he love doubting Thomas? He said here, he loved them unto the end. What? His disciples, he's talking about them. Man, they had problems. You and I have problems. But he's going to love you unto the end. Don't doubt his love. Don't doubt his promises. All things work together for good. How? We'll see. Right? God doesn't give up. He never does. He says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Well, those are some precious promises. Even though there's times when it feels like he's gone. How about his blood? You think his blood can wash away that sin that you've had to keep coming over and over and over and over and over? Don't you think he'd just get fed up and say, all right, that's it, no more. I can't forgive you this time. No. That's not his blood. That's not his mercy. Mercy of the Lord endureth forever and ever and ever. Praise the Lord! How about his words? They're holy. They're certain. Don't doubt these words. Don't doubt them. God will take care of you. Look back at the last thing here, Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Don't doubt. He'll take care of that. Now, verse 14, he says, the Lord shall fight for you. He has a plan. He's got something ahead of schedule. But you got to wait. And he says, and ye shall hold your peace. The last thing here is don't argue. Don't argue with the Lord. Hold your peace. Look back at verse number 11. And that's often what we tend to do when we're in a situation like this. We'll worry, we'll doubt, we'll get ahead of God, and we'll start arguing. We'll start arguing very regularly. Verse 11, he says, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us? This is hard. To carry us forth out of Egypt. Why did you do this? Why did you bring us out? It'd be better for us to be back there. They start arguing with the Lord. He says, you're going to hold your peace. Don't argue with him. Now, the Israelites, they often argued with God. And I'm glad God doesn't deal with Christians like he does with the Israelites and just dropping thousands of them at a time. I mean, churches would be pretty empty. It'd be pretty hard to build a congregation, I'm pretty sure. If you were back in the murmuring days and just the amount of murmuring that I've done in my life, I know I'd be out. I mean, I wouldn't be a part of your church. I'd be dead. But don't argue when it doesn't go your way. Life isn't supposed to go your way. It's supposed to go God's way. When you think you're right and just everything you've done, Lord, I've done the right thing. Hey, God may have something else in store for you. He may want you to go through some good old-fashioned suffering like he went through, even though he was right. God will lead you down some paths that are pretty hard. I know it's not more than you can bear, but sometimes it feels like it's more. Hey, Lord, this is too much for me. It's enough. Now kill me. How many times have all of us said that? Lord, all right, just kill me. Take me out of this thing. It's enough. There should be an easier path, right? No. Don't argue with the Lord. Sometimes we tell the Lord how worthless we are, and Lord, I just can't do it. Okay. But he can do it. So worship him and go on. Don't stay in that worthless part of how much you can't do. Your weakness is tremendously weak, but his strength is tremendously strong. Go on in that. go on in His strength. Look back in Exodus chapter 4. Remember Moses, he was arguing with the Lord a little bit, and Lord, who am I? How can I do this? Look at verse 10 of Exodus 4. Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent. He didn't ask you to be eloquent. Neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, you haven't made me eloquent yet, Lord. And he's not going to. That's not his plan to make you eloquent. But he says, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. That's what the Lord wants to use. He wants to use the base things. He wants to use those weak things. But look what it does when Moses keeps arguing with the Lord in verse 14. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he gives him a helpmeet, Aaron, who leads the children of Israel into apostasy. He ends up being a great type of Christ as well. But Moses, he says, I got a plan for you. And Moses, I can't do it. All right, then I'll give it to Aaron. He'll do it. Moses loses a little bit there. Just like when he followed his father-in-law. Trust him. God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. God will take care of you. You think of Jonah. Jonah argued with the Lord. Did that help him out? Didn't hear much else from Jonah. Job didn't argue. God dealt a lot better with Job than he did with Jonah. How about the Pharisees? The Pharisees argued. But that Syrophoenician woman, she didn't argue with the Lord. Now look at Luke chapter 16. Last verse here tonight, Luke chapter 16. And this is just a lesson we continually have to just keep putting ourselves into place, because we always want to make our own position right and look good and do what we think we know to be best. And, you know, just get out of it. Don't try and look best. Look at Luke chapter 16, verse 15. This is what I find myself doing all too often. He said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. Don't you want to look good before everybody? Don't you want to look good before God? I mean, who doesn't? Everybody wants to look good. I mean, nobody wants to look like a fool. That's why it's so hard to find people to go out street preaching. That's why it's so hard to find people to serve God and be faithful and do something right and stand up and be courageous. Why? They don't want to look like a fool. God's looking for some fools who won't argue with Him, who will trust Him. Will you trust Him? God will take care of you. He says, ye are they which justify yourselves. You can either justify yourself or you can justify God. You can justify God. Say, how do you do that? Learn from Jesus Christ. Was he right? But he said, God, whatever you want to do, your will be done, not mine. If this is going wrong and it seems like I'm doing right, Lord, you're going to take care of me in the end. Whether it be the next day or in the next hour, in the next minute, or not until you reach the judgment, God will take care of you. You don't need to argue with Him. You don't need to doubt Him. You don't need to worry. You don't need to run and get ahead of Him. Trust Him, because He'll take care of you. He never asked me to go anywhere He has not gone, to face anything He has not faced, to love anyone He does not love, or to give anything He has not given. You can trust Him. Let's pray. Father, again, so good to be